All right. Woo, y'all doing good?
I hope so, man. I tell you.
During COVID-19 shutdowns, y'all remember COVID-19? I know this is 2021, but COVID-19 shutdown. There was actually a YouTube sensation, this show that was created by John Krasinski that captured just positive moments and stories from all across the globe. And it really came at a great time. He just came up with this idea on his own, decided to put it out there, and it just become this huge thing. In fact, I know for one, our family, maybe like your family, really needed just some positive during that time. And we'd gather up on the couch and watch these short shows on YouTube that he put on. Does anybody know what they were called? Anybody know? The initials are up there, SGN. Who knows what that stands for? You can say it out loud. You can say it loud. Yep. Yes, some good news. Some good news. Any of y'all need some good news today? I mean, look, it was such good timing for that show. Well, and it's, I think it's good timing for today. Some good news. Now, what I want to do is just give you a minute, okay? If you're watching online, thank you so much. If you're up in Building B in our mask-only venue, this is a chance for you to talk, lean across your chair, maybe to your neighbor around you. But do you have some good news today? Maybe something that happened this week? This month? Come on, y'all got some good news, right? Okay, take a minute to just share with your neighbor around you some good news that's happened to you recently or something you want to share from the past couple months or whatever, and I'll be back up in just a minute to go on from there, all right? Some good news. Go ahead and talk about it. If you need to get up, move around, you can do that. You have good news? All right, okay. Lots of good news, lots of good news. So much. Now, I got to think, and I want to share I got to share some good news with you. And this was just from Wednesday alone, okay? This isn't, you know, I got all kinds of good stuff going on, but just from Wednesday alone, okay? Now, it didn't start out that way, all right? Tuesday, we decided we had to shut a bunch of stuff down here at the church, and, you know, maybe you didn't miss work or whatever because this hurricane was coming. But as Wednesday approached, we got some good news. You see, Thunderstorm Elsa, it didn't devastate us. It didn't like overtake. I didn't see any houses floating down the street. You know, nothing like terrible happened and it passed right on by us and went on. It was kind of a non-event. Would you agree that was good news? Yeah, very good news. Thunderstorm Elsa, not very good. And then later that night, we got some really good news Now, Father's Day, I told y'all this was going to happen, all right? That they was going to win this thing. Back-to-back Stanley Cup champions for our Tampa Bay Lightning. Really good news, right? Awesome news. Man, so storm goes by, Lightning win the championship. That's nothing compared to something else that happened on Wednesday. I think some of the best news of all time. Watch this.
I believe
that Jesus is the Christ.
That Jesus is the Christ.
Son of the living God.
The Son of the living God.
I have accepted him.
I have accepted him.
As my personal Lord and Savior.
As my personal Lord and Savior. Amen.
Amelia, upon your confession of faith,
yes.
We now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, that's some good news right there. Congratulations, Amelia. Your baptism and your brand new life in Jesus. So, such good news. It was amazing to be able to be here for that. Speaking of good news, today we're starting a brand new series in our Core 52 year-long study. Hopefully you've been a part of this. It's just been amazing. And we're right about the middle. And we're starting this new series that really, we're going through the book of Mark. We're starting a brand new chapter, and we're going through the book of Mark in the New Testament. And it's just a really good place because as we think about this word gospel today, this is a word that Mark uses in his very first verse and actually has to do with where we're going this morning. It's called the gospel because it's the very first word that he uses. Now, Mark is also called John Mark, the youngest biographer of Jesus, and he had a string of failures and bad news in his life as he traveled with Paul and Barnabas and others. But as he gets ready to write his biography of Jesus, by then he's become a true disciple of Jesus. He's been mentored by Paul and Peter and others, and even in spite of the bad news, he's never quit. And by the end of his life, he's captured some of Jesus' most practical spiritual teaching and written it down on the pages of our New Testament in the book of Mark. So we've decided to call this series Remarkable. Remarkable. Come on, y'all. It's not that bad. I think it's pretty cool, actually. That's going to work out. Because honestly, man, if you want to live a remarkable life and a remarkable life in Jesus, it's all right here in the pages of Scriptures. And Mark begins his book by sharing and declaring, guess what? Some really good news. Yes, Mark chapter 1, verse 1. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and open to Mark 1. It's a very short verse, but we're going to kind of camp out here today. Mark 1, 1. If you're watching again online, feel free to open up and read. It's on the screen as well. Mark 1, 1. Let's say this together this morning. Here we go. Mark 1, 1. The beginning of the good news about Jesus Christ, Messiah, the Son of God. Good. Let's do it again. The beginning of the good news about Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God. Awesome. Mark chapter 1, verse 1. Now, what's interesting is that Mark is probably the first person to utilize this term gospel in this way. Now, the word gospel is pretty strange to anyone who's not a Christian, right? Would you agree? How many of y'all use the word gospel on every day? Go to work tomorrow and just use it in a sentence, all right? See what happens, all right? But to the Christian, to the Christ follower, it's very special. Does anyone want to guess what the word gospel means? Whoa. Really? All right, let's see if you're right. I found this video this week. I was going to teach this out, you know, with my own words, but this video is just too good not to show you this morning. It's from the Bible Project, and it has to do with that word gospel. Watch this.
If you know any Christians, or if you happen to be one, you've probably heard the word gospel as a kind of summary of Christian belief, connected to phrases like, God loves you, or Jesus died for your sins. But over time, religious words like gospel can lose their power and meaning by becoming too familiar. So, let's take a moment to rediscover what this important word, gospel, meant to the people who wrote the Bible. Gospel translates the Old Testament Hebrew verb, biser, and the noun, besora. The Greek New Testament equivalent is euangelion, which is a compound word. Eu means good, and angelion means announcement. All of these words mean good news, but what kind of news? Well, in Hebrew, biser is what we might call national news, or a royal announcement. Like when King David hears a messenger biser that his army was victorious in battle, that means he still rules on his throne over the people of Israel. And after David dies, his throne is passed on to Solomon, his son. And when he was inaugurated as king in Jerusalem, a herald spreads the besora, that a new ruler is in charge. But after Solomon's death came a bunch of bad news kings, whose corruption led their nation into self-destruction. This is why the prophet Isaiah announced the good news that one day the God of Israel would come as the cosmic king, to confront all corrupt and violent kingdoms and restore his rule over all nations. And so, when Jesus of Nazareth hit the public stage, he continued Isaiah's gospel when he went around announcing the euangelion of God's kingdom. Jesus claimed that God was restoring his reign over his people Israel and over all nations, and he was the one bringing it all about. Now, the euangelion about a new king in charge means a new way of life. Jesus said that living in God's kingdom meant following him by putting down the sword and seeking peace through radical forgiveness and generosity, even toward your enemies. His good news required people to make a decision. This is why Jesus took his euangelion to Jerusalem to confront the corrupt and violent kingdoms of his day. But he challenged them in a surprising way with the power of God's generous love. As Jesus was being executed by his enemies, he received his crown and was mocked as a fake king. But he displayed true royal authority by forgiving his tormentors. Jesus was the one in charge that day, giving his life for the sins of others. And then, a few days later, everything changed. Jesus rose from the dead as the true king, whose love is stronger than death. He appeared to hundreds of his followers and told them to spread the euangelion, that all authority in heaven on earth now belongs to him. And they did share this good news all over the ancient world. They did it by writing the four accounts of Jesus' life that are the gospel. That is, they tell the story of how Jesus brought God's kingdom, how he lived for others and died for their sins, and then was raised from the dead. Jesus' followers also shared the good news by simply talking about it. This is why Peter and Paul, or Priscilla and Aquila, traveled all around sharing the royal announcement. While it might look like the rulers of our world are in charge and can do whatever they want, the good news is that the crucified and risen Jesus is the true Lord of the world, the real King of all creation. And in Jesus' kingdom, things are different. It's where the real leaders are the servants, because the last are first, and the first go to the back of the line. It's where the hungry are fed and the homeless are welcome, because love is the most powerful reality of God's kingdom. And this good news is not easy to believe. It actually sounds kind of crazy when you first hear it, but something happens when people tell the story of Jesus and start living like he really is the King of the world. That's when this gospel becomes the best news that you've ever heard.
Yeah, the gospel. So who said good news? Yes, that is exactly what gospel means, the good news. And I was a little nervous about showing that video because it pretty much says everything I need to say in the next few minutes, but it's too good not to share with you. So one way that we have the gospel, one way that we have the good news is that we have the gospel of Jesus, his true stories. Now, I don't know if you've heard this before, but you just saw it in the video, but how many of you heard when you open up your New Testament, you find the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and we call those the four gospels, right? Maybe you'd be interested in knowing why that's called, why we call them that. Well, the first four books of the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, what we call the gospels, tell the true story of Jesus's life. And the reason we call them gospels is actually found in Mark 1:1, the verse that we just read together. It's our verse for the week. You see, Mark was the first, the earliest of the four writers to give us the biography of Jesus. So in Mark 1:1, in his very first words, he calls his biography the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And he goes on to use that word gospel seven more times in his 16 chapters. So good news, the gospel was a really big deal to Mark. And because he was the earliest one, then Matthew and Luke and John also have an opportunity to adopt that name for themselves. So as a result, Mark's true story of the gospel of Jesus became known as the gospel according to Mark. That's what they call it. So a little later, again, Matthew, Luke, John, when it's their turn, the Holy Spirit inspires them to talk about the life of Jesus, the accounts of Jesus' life, then they become known. They adopt that word gospels as well. So a gospel becomes a label for these four true stories of Jesus. That's why we do that. Now, 2,000 years, the gospels, these true stories, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, have taught us and have showed us the salvation that we have in Jesus. Each author brings their own unique perspective, their own twist, and their own way of revealing Jesus' life and his ministry and his resurrection, his ascension, and what it means to be a follower of Jesus. Now, when Mark uses that word beginning, I think that's interesting too, because it tells us that the good news that we're about to read in the book of Mark is just the beginning. And I know that sounds kind of like, Well, of course it just means the beginning. But over the last chapters of Mark, the last chapters of Luke and John and Matthew, for that matter, aren't the end of the gospel. When Jesus ascends back to heaven at the end of the gospels, that's not the end of the story. In fact, Mark tells us right here at the beginning, this is only the beginning. So what happens is, after these true stories of Jesus, we see the word gospel now being used in the rest of the New Testament, in the rest of the story of Jesus. We see the good news continued. The true story of Jesus is the good news in the past, it's the good news in the present, and it's the good news of the future. That's why we see Christianity, or we see the life of Jesus, being referred to as the gospel story even today. In fact, if you click on your Spotify, you know, search or whatever, you go on YouTube, you're going to find a whole genre of music called gospel music, a section of the bookstore, gospel books, you know, it's because this, where this word come from. And all of this relates to the story, the true story of Jesus. But the good news is much more than just the story of Jesus. There's more to it than even that. You see, the gospel, the good news, actually is Jesus himself, the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of God. You see, for centuries, the history of evil, of Israel, the Old Testament prophets, the line of David, as you saw in the video, pointed to this coming ruler, pointed to this coming Messiah who would rule over the Jewish nation. And Mark 1:1 begins by saying that the truth that we're about to read is the good news about Jesus, that Jesus is the Messiah, that Jesus is the Christ. That's the truth. And what Mark was doing was, he was addressing his Jewish readers, his Jewish audience that would be up, and he is pointing to no one but Jesus as the Messiah. He is the Christ. That's why he uses this Jewish term, so that they would know that Jesus is him. And then Mark also uses this other term, the Son of God, in the same sentence, which was a Roman term. And Mark is writing in Rome, he's talking to Gentiles, to non-Jewish audience, and he's letting them know that there is one Son of God. See, in those days, the ruler, the Caesar, would call himself the Son of God, and Mark is clearly saying, no, there is one Son of God, one ruler, one king, one emperor, and guess who it is? Jesus, the Son of God. So now he's addressed his Jewish audience, he's addressed his non-Jewish audience, the Romans. And he's making it clear to all of them that the good news is for everyone, everyone. I really like how one of Mark's mentors, the Apostle Paul, writes it in Romans chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. Listen to these words of Paul. It says, Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart. Why? For the gospel, for the good news of God. The gospel, the good news that he promised beforehand through the prophets in the Holy Scriptures. See this, the Messiah, he's setting this up. The gospel, regarding his son, who as to his earthly life was a descendant of David. Again, he's using this term, the Messiah. They would know that. And who through the spirit of holiness was appointed the Son of God. He's using that Roman term, just like Mark did. In power by his resurrection from the dead. The gospel, who is it? You see it? Who is it? Yes, Jesus Christ our Lord is the gospel. This is what Paul is saying. Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus is the good news. Jesus, the Christ. Jesus, the Son of God. Jesus, he is the good news. From his immaculate conception to his birth to his perfect earthly life, Jesus was both God and fully man. He taught, he did miracles while on earth that only God could do. This was good news. He had come. And Mark, when he writes these words, he paints the picture of Jesus as a suffering servant. Now, that doesn't sound like good news. Why would he do that? Well, because Jesus was arrested by the Jews, he was beaten by the Romans, he was killed on a cross as a perfect sacrifice for our sins. It's bad news, but we are talking about Jesus here. Jesus, the good news. What? Why is this a good news? Yeah. Why is this a good news? Because he didn't stay dead. No, he didn't stay dead. After 3 days, Jesus Christ rose from the grave to live and rule from the right hand of God forever and ever as our Savior and our salvation. He is God, and he proved it by rising from the grave. That is not just good news. That is the greatest news that the universe has ever heard. The risen Jesus, y'all, the good news. He made it possible for all of us, each and every one of us, to have life, to be forgiven of our sins, to be saved for now, today, and for eternity in heaven. The gospel is of Jesus. The gospel is Jesus. And we can receive and we can live that good news, that gospel, through Jesus. Through Jesus. This is our salvation. He is our salvation. You see, the good news matters because of the bad news. You see, because of our sin and our imperfection, and I think you would agree, all of us have fallen short of the glory of God. No one in this room is, no one watching, no one of us are perfect. Because of our sin, because of our imperfection, we are lost, and we are going to die one day. And unfortunately, we will go to hell if we don't get things right with God. The good news is that Jesus can make us right with God. And that's exactly what he did. Jesus came to make us right. Jesus came to seek and save the lost. He came to offer forgiveness, to bring a new kingdom to earth. Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. He is the way to the Father. He is the way to eternal life in heaven. Jesus, salvation, rescue, life. The good news is that God so loved you that he sent his one and only Son to die for every wrong thing that you and I have ever done and you and I will ever do, so that those who believe in Jesus will not perish, but we will have eternal life. Salvation. Salvation is the power of God that's found in the wonder-working, life-saving power of what Jesus has done for us. That's the gospel. And I just read from Romans chapter 1, the first four verses, just a couple verses later in verse 16. Paul says this, Romans 1:16, I am not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the good news because it is the power. It is the power of God for what? Salvation. This is what saves us, the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. To the Jew first and then also to the Greek. The power of our salvation. Another one of Mark's mentors, Peter, the apostle, he said it this way as he faced the Jewish religious leaders in Acts chapter 4, verse 12. He said, salvation is found in, help me out, no one, yes, is there any other name under heaven by which we must be saved? No, Peter says it loud and clear here. There's no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. Our salvation is through Jesus. The good news that is for everyone is given to us so that we, you, me, the people that we love, the people that we know, the people that we don't know can be saved through believing and through trusting and through following one person, the Son of God, the Messiah, Jesus Christ. I love what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, these first eight verses. And I just want to read them to you. And as I do, just allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you through God's word as we listen to what he says through the Apostle Paul. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 8. Salvation in Jesus. Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel, the good news that I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel, you are saved. If you hold firmly to the word that I preached to you, otherwise you believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance. And I want to stop here. Of first importance. What that means is that the words that you are about to read are the most important words that you will ever read, of first importance. There's nothing more important than knowing that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day, according to the scriptures. And that he appeared to Cephas, who was Peter, and then to the 12. And after that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. And then he, Jesus, appeared to James, and then to all the apostles. And last of all, he appeared to me also. That's good news. That's the best news we could ever know. So yes, Mark was right. Mark was right. This true story of Jesus was only the beginning. You see, the gospel story continued through the book of Acts with a church that began with only 120 believers through men like the Apostle Paul, who we just read from, and it spread from Jerusalem all over the world. It exploded into an empire-wide movement. Thousands of people found salvation through Jesus. The good news of Jesus spread. Churches were planted on three different continents, just as Jesus commanded us to do when he said, "Go and make disciples of all nations," we talked about last week, the Great Commission. 2,000 years of church history has not stopped the power of the gospel. It is still alive today. Yes, kings have tried to destroy the gospel. Armies have tried to defeat the gospel. Laws have been passed to outlaw the gospel. Believers have been hung on crosses, fed the lions, burned at the stake, and still to this day are being persecuted and martyred for the sake of the gospel. Bibles have been banned and burned. Satan has done just about all he can do to erase the good news from the face of the planet. But guess what? He has not, because Satan has no power over the gospel, and he has no power over Jesus, the Son of God, who defeated the devil, who defeated death, who overcame the grave, and has given us the good news and the power to be saved. The good news of salvation, y'all, is still alive and saving and bringing new life today, isn't he, Amelia? Our good news is salvation through Jesus. He's got the power over sin, the power over death. And if he's got the power over sin and power over death, then he has got the power to guide us through any circumstances that life might bring to us. You know, one day we're going to talk about how a pandemic shut down churches across the world. I know one day people are going to write about how politics divided believers across party lines, and how racial differences put our society at odds with each other. How death and sickness, if your family was like mine, just sidetracked everything. Maybe you lost someone you loved. Maybe there's something that just kind of puts you on the sidelines. Maybe as you look back at a period of depression, or just wondering what's going to happen next, or maybe you're going to look back and just see how God has been blessing you over and over and over with good news. And I don't know what kind of crazy stuff colors in the lines of your life today. I don't know what you walked in here with, but I can tell you, we all need this good news. You need to hear this good news. No matter what you've gone through, no matter what crazy times have happened, I've got to tell you today, like the old song says, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of this earth will go strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. The good news isn't just for when we all get along or when things are going our way. Jesus isn't just the good news today and then bad news tomorrow because he didn't work for you. The gospel isn't good news because the church is a good place to go, and when it's not so good, well, now it's bad news. The gospel's not good news because you understand it or because you get it. The gospel is good news because it is true. It is real, and salvation through Jesus Christ is real. I love how Pastor Judd White says it. He's out in Las Vegas. He says it this way: when the good news powers your life, bad news cannot destroy your life. When the good news powers your life, then bad news cannot destroy your life. The gospel, the good news, this good news of Jesus is for you. It's for your family. This is good news for your marriage. This is good news for your friendships, for all your relationships. This is good news for your past. No matter where you came from, it's good news for your future, for your today. And it is especially good news for your eternity. Someone here today is looking for good news. Y'all need to hear some good news. And someone you know needs to hear some good news. And I believe that in these few words of Mark chapter 1, verse 1, you have heard it today. The beginning of the gospel, the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And it deserves a response. You can reject it. You can accept it. You can live it. And I pray today that you would entertain, think through, and best case, accept this good news for your own life. Jesus said himself, we're going to talk about this verse next week, Mark chapter 1, verse 14, as he is proclaiming the good news of God, he's proclaiming the gospel. He says, the time has come. The time has come. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent. Turn away from your old life and be what? Believe the good news. Believe the good news. Later on, Mark chapter 8, Jesus, he's talking to his would-be disciples. He says, whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. My prayer is that you'll accept the good news of Jesus today. That you'll do what Jesus said and believe that he is the Son of God. Put your trust and your life in Jesus' hands, that you will confess that he is Lord and turn from your old life. That's what that word repent means, that you'll be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and that you will live for him every single minute of every single day as Lord of your life. Accept the good news and give Jesus your life today. You can do that. There's going to be a prayer team up front in just a few minutes, or maybe today you've come with someone. There's someone sitting right next to you, invited you to church. Maybe you're watching online. You can just kind of type in the comments let us know that you want to accept that good news for your life, the good news of Jesus. Ask the questions you need to ask and get there. Because if dying for you is bad news today, it doesn't have to be. The good news of Jesus for you. And if you're like me and you have accepted that good news, church, we need to be the good news. We need to be the good news. Jesus tells his disciples all through the book of Mark, we see it in chapter 10, chapter 13, chapter 16, that the good news of Jesus is worth leaving everything else behind for. The good news is too good to be kept a secret. It should be preached. It should be celebrated. It should be pursued. It should be declared and lived out before the world. And we do that by being the good news, by literally living and serving and loving like Jesus did. Like the good news lived, we can live and be the good news. No matter what life brings our way. I think about Paul and all the things that the apostle went through so that he could say, and maybe we could say these words too. Acts chapter 20, verse 24. I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task that the Lord Jesus has given me. The task of testifying, the task of declaring, the task of telling the whole world the good news of God's grace. Be the good news. The good news of Jesus is what's going to make our world a better place. Just had a talk this week with one of my neighbors about all the kind of stuff that's going on in our world around us. He said, if only somebody could could help fix this and fix this and fix this. And I said, you didn't know the good news of Jesus because someone came. Someone came who, if we would just live the way Jesus taught us to live, our world would be completely different. You see, being the good news is not just a Book of Mark thing. It's not just an Apostle Paul thing or a Joe thing. It's being the good news happens right here, right now, in your life and mine. We started today with some good news from last Wednesday. Lots of good news happening around us. And I just kind of want to wrap up by showing you another video of something that happened just a couple weeks ago as some of you got on a bus and you devoted a week of your life to go down to Lake Aurora Christian Camp, and you were the good news. You talk about being the good news. Over 130 campers, if I got my numbers right, were able to experience the love of Jesus firsthand because of what you're about to see. Watch this video, and then we'll wrap up.
It's like an umbrella.
Good stuff. Thanks, y'all, for who went down there again. Now, being the good news might not look like getting eggs cracked on your head and, you know, and maybe going off a blob like that. I don't know. Maybe it is, and you can sign up for that next year. Eli will hook you up. But being the good news in your life, with your family, with your friends, the people that you do know, looks like something. And I hope that today you just give some time to thinking about what being the good news means for you, where you are in your life. I want to tell you today that I don't think there's any better way to spend your life than being the good news of Jesus to others. There's not. Now, there's a lot of good news out there. some good news. It's good news that the hurricane passed. It's good news that the lightning won. But man, the best news, like the really good news, is knowing that Jesus died for you so that you could have life today and for eternity. So maybe today you need to accept that. Maybe that's your next step, is to give your life to Jesus once and for all and forever. And you can do that today. You be baptized into Christ and leave here a brand new person, and hook up with someone, a group, somebody to disciple you and help you walk with Jesus each day of your life. Accept the good news today and live for Him. Be the best decision you ever made. And if you are a Christ follower, again, I hope that you'll find a way to be the good news of Jesus, to spend your life for the gospel. Now, that might mean using your time, your talents, your energy, like you just saw in the video, you know, maybe with students or with kids or volunteering around here. It might be with an old folks home, or maybe somewhere in the community where you can make yourself valuable to someone that's you know, maybe underprivileged, or whatever. You might find a way to be the good news in your life, and God will use you in that way. And I got to thinking about that this week, that one way that each and every one of us can be the good news is with our words, with our actions. You know, I think about one of Mark's mentors, Barnabas. He was known as an encourager. And I just want to challenge you to be an encourager this week, to use your words for the good news, for good news. When you go to work, think about what you say before you say it. And think, is this going to be good news, or am I about your family? Kids with your parents, parents with kids. Share good news. Your social media platforms, I don't know, you're on Facebook, Instagram, whatever it is what I'm about to type, is what I'm about to say, good news. That, with all due respect to your broken legs and your open wounds and, you know, and your complaints about, you know, I mean, look, just don't do that this week. All right, don't complain about the politics or about the bad stuff going on. Look, don't do that. Only good news. And let's see if we can then, as we do that, point the good news back to the real good news, the good news of Jesus. It might just be as simply as saying, Jesus loves you, or you know, I don't know. But just be the good news this week with your words and see what kind of doors God would open for you in your life. You take that challenge?
Yes.
I'm going to do it. I hope you will too. Let's go ahead and stand and let's have a word of prayer together. And we'll close with a song. It's a very powerful song of devotion to God. But let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we love you so much. You are holy, holy, holy. Are you Lord God Almighty? God, thank you for bringing heaven to earth. Jesus, God, thank you for the life and the death and the resurrection of our Savior, the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God. And God, today we bow before Him as King. God, some of us in this place today, some of us watching online today, need to accept Jesus as King, need to acknowledge and give their life to Him once and for all and forever. And I pray that they would accept the good news of Jesus. Because God, I say this with a smile, I don't even want to know what my life would be like without Jesus. I know it'd be bad news. But God, I thank you for saving me, and I thank you for saving so many in this room, for sharing the good news with us, and for making our life so much different because of the love of Jesus. And I pray that for those in this place that need to make you Lord today. May they accept the good news. And God, I pray for our church. God, I pray as we leave this place that we would seriously be the good news. God, that we would walk through maybe our day, no matter what's happening around us, with a smile on our face and with good news from our mouths. God, that when bad things happen, we would connect with you, and that we would turn it all praise back to you. Because you are the good news, God. Thank you. Use us however you will. We surrender our lives, our service, our talents, our abilities, our life as the church, the bride of Christ, to you, so that we can be the good news that you are for us. Thank you, Lord. We praise you. Thank you for everyone that's here today. I pray that you would send them home with a blessing to be who you created us to be, your children. We love you. We give you thanks in the mighty, powerful name of Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God. Amen.